just before we do the official and get Julie Truman on the line, let's do a little bit of background to the Cool Climate International Wine Show, which was a couple of months ago.
Yes, just some interesting statistics from the 2018 show. 42 gold medals awarded across 36 classes, Neil. Tasmania took 10, took over from New Zealand. That normally takes a number of awards.
That doesn't surprise me, having been there earlier in the year, some ripping stuff there.
Oh, excellent, excellent. And we had our first, and we've chatted about Flinders Island, took out their first gold medal this year.
And I believe they listened to one of our wine shows when we sort of gave them a bit of a pump up.
Oh, they did, and look, it was a fantastic wine. I'm actually going to get the winemaker in, and we're going to have a chat with him as well.
Fantastic. We'll give that another pump up later when we run through some of those medal winners.
Mm. There was over 700 entries, which was an increase of 24% on 2017. And 466 out of 700 received medals. And a lot of people ask me, you know, God, that seems a lot higher than it than maybe it should be. But you've got to take into consideration the points of the wine scoring. And those are bronze, silvers, golds, and then top
and then trophies
and so on.
And of course, a lot of people, they won't put everything into there. They'll be quite strategic about what wines I put into a show as well.
Yeah, that's correct. I think that because it's the first show of the season, just after vintage, a lot of them like to see how their current or their, you know, just vintage wine as in the previous is going.
Yeah.
So they can then strategically put it together for other shows that are coming up.
That's right.
So they're getting a bit of background.
Yeah, Royal Sydney, Royal Melbourne, all those sorts of things,
The Royal Sydney's on at the moment, so that's happening. Mornington Peninsula entries was 90% increase on 2017.
Fantastic.
Excellent. Brown Brothers had 20 entries from all of their vineyards. Obviously, as you know, they've got a lot of vineyards over in Tassie now.
A lot of Tassie ones, Went to some of those. Tomo Ridge is where they make some ripping stuff, and they've got some medals. We'll talk about those later.
Excellent, we will. We also had both the French and Italian wine entries for the first time. Colette we'll talk about, Champagne Colette we'll talk about later on. Just to give you some idea, the Icon Cool Climate wine entries, Pinot Noir 150, Chardonnays 122, Pinot Gris and Greggio 44, Sauv Blancs 39, Shiraz Shiraz 105. So there's a few statistics on this year's show.
Absolutely. Look, our first guest today will be, well, our only guest today, really. You're a guest too, I suppose.
Thank you very much.
But it will be Julie Truman from Matasi, and she congratulated me on the way I pronounced the winery, because most people get it wrong. And when you see the spelling of it, you'll appreciate that. We'll just have a short ad break while I get Julie onto the store. And, first one of our sponsors up is the Merrick General Store, of course. We love them.
Merrick's
Red Wine. Go to my head, make me forget that I still need a soul.
Ah, yes, red wine, and again, welcome to Paul, and also welcome to Julie Truman. How are you going there, Julie? Hear me better now, I hope. And I hope you like that intro there, a bit of red wine from Neil Dotton.
Yes, well, we're a little bit on the pale side today with the rosé, but red wine's very good.
Absolutely, yes. We're going to go out of tasting order because we are looking at the successes from the International Cool Climate Wine Show. And, of course, you've picked up the fantastic trophy there for the rosé, and I was up there just the weekend before. It's an absolute cracker, that one, too. You must be very proud of it.
Yes, we were tickle pinks.
It was very
exciting, and when Paul rang through the results, and of course he was very teasing when he rang through, but
not me.
in and it was very, we were very excited here.
Now, I know there's a bit of a story behind the name, because the name is Selwyn's Fault. We know that there's a geographical Selwyn's Fault on the Mornington Peninsula, but you've also got a son called Selwyn, and it's his idea to make the rosé.
Very, very close, yes. My husband's middle name is Selwyn, and we inflicted that on our son for his middle name as well.
Right.
It's a Welsh name, so it's a family name that goes back a couple of generations that's been in and out there. And it so happened that it was our son Glennon's daughter who talked us into making a rosé. We weren't overly keen. We were set on making the Pinot Noir and Chardonnay, which we specialise in. And he said, oh, no, look, rosé is really popular and selling well. And so in 2013, we had some extra grapes, so I thought, well, all right, we'll give the rosé a try. And so that's how it came about, from the next generation, and we're so glad we did.
Oh, yes.
It's really such an enjoyable wine over summer, and being dry, and with plenty of the Pinot Noir flavour, it's quite changed my mind about rosé. And yes, it happened that we, the Selwyn Fault line comes in from Lang Warren at Oliver's Hill in Frankston and runs down the west side of Port Phillip Bay.
Mm.
And, oh, beg pardon, I'm on the wrong side, aren't I?
Up
I'm
the other side.
On the east side of Port Phillip
Bay.
Under Arthur Seat and then across the Cape Shank. So it's almost underneath us.
Yeah, and the top gold medal was...
We do a play on the two names. We have the Selwyn Fault line. And if the wine doesn't sell, we'll say, well,
that's
Selwyn's fault.
And it's top gold, so it's certainly his fault as well. I'm sure he's taking the credit for it. I'll just get...
Yeah, so far I haven't had it told you so, but it could be written on his face.
Yeah, that's right. I'll let Paul just join in here.
Good morning, Julie. How are you?
Morning, Paul.
Good, good, good. I think I'm not, well, wouldn't be teasing you making a phone call, but, you know, it's always nice to get a phone call from the person who's giving out all the results. And I noticed across the board, all of your wines picked up an award, a silver, a top gold, and bronze.
Yes, we have. I guess the gold from the rosé has overshadowed the other results, but yes, they have done very well. And can I just say, I can actually still only hardly hear both of you. So I don't know if you've got another switch there, but I'm struggling to hear you.
That's all right. Neil's organising.
I'm doing my best, twiddling a few knobs, and hopefully get it better for you, but I know that you're coming through loud and clear to our listeners, and that's the most important thing.
Yes, it is. Now, the top gold, the notes that I've got here, Julia, complex texture, secondary flavours, good acid length, very complex with a good balance, those Pinot flavours coming through. Look, I thought it was a lovely wine. I enjoyed it, and I think you did extremely well in that. The rosés have had a big surge in the last probably 3 years, and probably now if you go to places like the Blair Gowrie IGA down there and see Chris, I think he's got a display of probably 20-odd different rosés.
Okay.
One of the best on the Mornington Peninsula.
Nice,
highly
yeah.
recommend. If you're not in there, Julie, go down and see
have
Chris.
Have a bit of a sticky book, yeah.
It is impressive, and they do look quite stunning on the shelf, and a lot of people do display them quite well. I know the new artisan at Red Hill has the rosés with a light behind them, and this looks really quite an effective feature, as well as being particularly palatable and lovely to drink. And I think that's where we've been very fortunate that our site, and we only produce wine from our own grapes, with the exception that that rosé has had a bit of Shiraz from Balnarring in it. It's not more than 20%, but I think that's particularly given the 2017, a little bit of structure. And that's why also the rosé has a different label to our main wines. The Pinot Noir and Chardonnay have, I've just developed a new label with an Art Deco theme to it, which is my passion. I do tend to have a lot of Art Deco vases and bits and pieces around. So we've brought that into our new label. So from 2016 onwards, we've got a new label. But the Pinot Noir in the Hinterland region is just stunning. And I think with the longer the lovely autumns and long autumns we have, we have longer, slower ripening, so we get a lot of flavour in the berries. Mm. So I think we're very fortunate that, you know, we're using really top grapes. The rosé is not a second thought. It might have been to start with us not initially having to be talked into it by the kids, but I think now that we've just very fortunate that we're able to use really high-quality grapes to make it. And I think that makes a big difference. Very fortunate being on the Mornington Peninsula.
Oh, yes,
too,
indeed. Now I know that when you've been going over 30 years now, and in the 90s you put up some Cabernet, and like most people around your part of the peninsula, struggling to get it ripen, then decided to do a bit of Chardonnay and a bit of Pinot Noir. So the Pinot grapes you're using, they've been in there for, 20 years or so now? Would that be true?
That's right. The Cabernet was grubbed out in 99 and 2000, so that was when the Pinot was planted. We've been on the properties that we bought it in 84 and planted that Cabernet in 85. The Chardonnay at the top went in at 98, so that's always been Chardonnay, but that bottom vineyard was converted in 99 and 2000. So they're coming up to nearly 20 years old now, so they're quite mature and doing well.
For all the toffs out there, which clones have you used for your Pinot?
Mostly the D clone.
Okay.
We do have D2V5 and D2V6. We keep the 115 and the MV6 for our still save what for the Pinot. So that's been at the D clones.
Now, I also know that a couple of weeks ago when I was up there that you had a bit of a special, which I actually availed myself of. You can get three of the rosés, and listen to this, Paul, three of those rosés, $67, top medal, $22 each if you buy the little three-pack there. John will serve you, and I think you also got a bit of a deal on one of your Pinots, because you've got a couple of Pinots going at the moment, haven't you? And I reckon it's fabulous.
We just had a little bit of the 13 left that we've been putting in some three packs as well. We actually haven't released the 14. We're holding on to that at the moment, which is a bit unusual. Yes, we're a little bit all over the place with the Pinots on the bench at the moment. Well, it appears that way, but there is a reason. We do have that tiny bit of 13 left, so that should sell out in the next couple of months, but we wanted to clear that. So we've got a three-pack of 13 available.
That's
the 14
value,
we're holding on
yeah.
to, that's a little bit different, and a bit bigger wine and hold on a bit longer, so I think that's worth keeping there. The 2015 had a very big write-up, and people were coming in and asking for it, so that's actually sold out. And then we wanted to, then our next wine is the 2016. So most unusually, we've got two wines on the bench with a couple of years in between. So the 16 and 13 are the current wines.
Fantastic. Oh,
Julie, if I can just ask, just going back to the Pinot Noir there, how long did you leave the skins on before you took them off on the rosé?
Oh, on the rosé?
Yes.
That's probably close to 24 hours now. There's a little bit of experimenting. First one was particularly too pale. But that doesn't worry me anymore. At first I thought the wines would... we started off with about 8 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just going a bit more than that now, just to get a little bit more colour.
Beautiful.
We tend to lose it during production with you know, by the time I had a bit of sulphur in it, and then the filtering. So down the line and settling with benzoite, we just tend to lose a little bit of colour along the line. So it's actually very hard to gauge that, but I think now that we've done that a few times, we're quite pleased with what we have. So,
excellent.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Julie...
Not very long at all. So it starts in an open fermenter, well, soaking,
yep.
And then the pressing, and then the ferment starts in stainless steel, but that goes into barrel when it's about 30% through. So within a day or two, it's all tucked up in barrel and finishes its fermenting in barrel. Yeah. And it's actually at the moment just finished its malolactic secondary fermentation. Good. So yesterday I was working on the rosé, so that's next pretty year. Close and be ready for bottling in October, November.
Fantastic.
That's the 2018.
Yeah, the new one, yeah. Julie, it's been great chatting with you, and if people want to get up to Matosi, up in Main Ridge Road there, and it's every weekend from 12 till 5. And get up there. John will say hello and give you a little tasting and show you the special Rydell tasting glasses. So it's good fun. People should not drive past. They should drop in and see you guys.
Yes, our new colour on the signage is standing out a little bit more. And
yes, a brighter blue
now. The Rydell glasses are good fun, and as far as we know, no one else is using those, and the company's just stopped producing them.
Oh,
but we've got
a nice stock
in hand that will be for our forever stock now. But yeah, it is. It's actually quite wonderful watching people's reactions when they use those.
It's
fantastic. Doesn't fail to fascinate me.
Good on you, Julie. Thanks very much. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Julie.
Thanks,
well done.
Thanks, Neil.
Cheers. Bye.
Now, we better move on because we have lots of things we want to cover. Let's start with the sparkling, because you mentioned that Colette, Paul, because they were just about, in the non-vintage sparkling, they were just about the best in that class one. The top three or four were all that Colette wine.
Yes, look, I was, you know, we were super impressed and very happy to get Champagne Colette that sent it all the way from France,
yep.
Obviously.
Yep.
It cost them significant dollars. Look, the wine, I love that there was one, two, three, four, five top gold and four or five others that picked up silver on the particular day. And look, that Colette just displayed that beautiful yeasty characteristics with light bubble, but continuous. It was probably one of the best wines of the show, I would say. And
yeah,
it's good
definitely.
To see them participating in the show.
And it won the best sparkling trophy as well. And tell you what, it's not easy to get. If you want to try and find it, I've been doing some research here. You've got to try to get onto Wine Republic or Nick's. You might get some at Nick's, and it'll probably cost you about $60 a bottle, which is cheaper than some of the other French ones of a
definitely.
Similar quality.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, alright, let's, there were a couple of interesting sort of local or Australian ones. The Piri Tasmanian.
Yes, the Piri Tasmania picked up a gold.
Yep.
It was, obviously, Brown Brothers, top gold in its class.
96
look,
points, yeah.
Yeast, Vegemite hints on the nose, elegant lemony fruit with a good purity, a touch of one-dimensional, lacking a little bit in length, but look, overall an excellent wine, top gold for that particular class.
Right, so the Piri, and Dan's got that for $30 at the moment.
Then
that
that's
is
a good price.
That is a very
yes.
good price,
yes.
so you
yes.
want to go for that.
Excellent.
Now, some of the other ones, for instance, our sponsor, the LG Park, they picked up a bronze. I know that the people from Jackrabbit listening from time to time, they also got a bronze for their sparkling. There are quite a lot of good Tasmanian wines picked up silvers and bronzes along the way as well. So,
oh, definitely. Yeah. Look, there's a huge increase in the sparkling, you know, done on the French method. And I suppose that was one of the larger growth areas of our wines this year. The sparkling classes had increased significantly as well.
Look, let's have a look at the Riesling. Now, the top gold there, and a lot of people wouldn't hear this because, again, Tasmania have a lot of very small wineries. Chartley Estate. Now, when I did some investigation of Chartley Estate, If you go back over the last 5 years, they've picked up the best dry Riesling in the world on a couple of occasions.
Oh, outstanding.
Stunning
Absolutely
stuff.
Outstanding.
So if you can ever see a Chartley estate, then every now and then you might pick up.
If you can find it.
If you can find one, or go directly through the
go
winery.
Go directly to the winery.
Probably somewhere around the $40 or $50 mark. Mm. The best Riesling in the world. 96 points. This was a stunner for the people who like Rieslings.
Oh, look, it was obviously that dry with a touch of sugary and just a little bit of balance at the back there.
Mm.
Excellent persistence, steely, carried through the whole palate, good mouthfeel. Highly recommend if you can get that wine or take a visit to Tasmania and you won't be sorry.
Right, and a couple of other Tassie ones, like Brem Creek, who I think are fabulous. They had a Riesling too, which got a silver, and you don't have to pay the same price for that one. You can get that one for mid $20, but again, you've probably got to get it from the winery or head down to Tassie yourself. Now, the Riesling 2016 or older, so the aged Riesling was one from Coonawarra. Patrick of Coonawarra, excuse me, had that. Top Gold, 96 points, absolute cracker. I was over there early in the year and did get a bit of a sip of that one. Very nice wine.
2012,
yeah.
Neil, 2012, Top Gold. I personally like those little bit of aged Rieslings.
Yeah, they get a little bit of honey, toasty sort of flavours, get a bit of yellowness into
yes,
it. Yeah.
Yes, just beautiful. Once again, just a fantastic wine. And if you wanted to compare something with that, the Spy Valley Marlborough Riesling 2015 also got a gold.
Yep.
But Patrick's of Coonawarra was just superb, and it's my style of Riesling.
Yeah, so absolutely, I agree with that. That's a good one. And Patrick's, you can go to the winery. They do have quite a lot of it. They don't always distribute widely here because they can sell a lot through their own cellar door there. Sauv Blanc. Now, you and I aren't great favourites, well, it's not our favourite wine. A lot of people do like a Sauv Blanc, and again, it was the Brown Brothers Tasmanian one which picked up the gold.
Look, I would recommend this tasting it. Look, I went to the masterclass of William Angliss, and I'd have to say that the Brown Brothers Sauv Blanc,
yeah,
was really well constructed.
Mm.
It was probably one of the better ones that I've ever had, and it is worth a taste just to get us some comparison because, as you said, you and I aren't major, and I don't think William's a major Sauv Blanc drinker,
man. No,
but look, it's worth having a taste and having a look at that wine because it's just so so unique. It's just to, I suppose, give you some idea, pungent passion fruit, lovely freshness, tangy, salty lift, and it was so much like the New Zealand Sauv Blancs but it had its own character and structure. Worth a taste.
Yeah, yeah. More in the sort of a bit of the French style to it, which does have just a bit more flair, as you're describing, and like that one. Devil's Corner from Tassie is also a pretty good value one, as most Devil's Corner. That got silver. And a lot of the ones on the Bellarine Peninsula, our good mates at Jackrabbit, Yes Said the Seal, they picked up some silvers too. So there's a lot of stuff at Bellarine if you are a Sauv Blanc that you want to have a bit of a sticky beak at.
I think Bellarine in Surf Coast region is doing an excellent job these days. And I think down the track we'll get maybe one of the Austins on have a bit of a chat about their wines. He's also the, as I believe, the president of the Vignerons Association over there. He came over as our guest to the International Cool Climate Wine Show Awards dinner.
Yep.
And there was a number of awards that went to that Bellarine Surf Coast this year.
Yeah, and you talk about Austins, of course, Michael Kybert, who's discussed winemaking with us, and we've got the podcast about that. Did a bit of work with Austin's over the years, so a bit of a peninsula connection.
No, excellent.
Gris and Grigio, which are the same class 10, Delatite from Mansfield picked up with the Grigio. It's interesting the Grigio seemed to outscore the Gris quite well. The top three or four are all Pinot Grigios, which means they've picked the the grape just a little bit earlier, a bit fresher, not quite as much sugar content in the grapes when they've selected it.
Yeah, they were still picking and harvesting at the time, just before they got their wines in.
Wow.
They were one of the latest areas up at Mansfield. They're still working on the harvest. Look, their Greggio, ripe pear, summer ferment complexity, fresh and bright, light with good character, and it just flowed through the palate nicely. So on a nice hot day, the Delatite Pinot Greggio is well worth a taste.
And I notice there's a couple of local wines which picked up bronzes, so Manton Creek, Red Hill Estate, Foxy's Hangout, Point Leo Estate, and we hope to get down there within the next month or so, and Pier 10, which is another local one. They all picked up bronze for their Grigios or their Gris.
That's right. Craig down at Pier 10, we hope to get down and see him shortly. They're doing a good show down there at Pier 10, and look, I think that's another place to drop in and say hello as well.
And Morning Sun, rather like their nice little food they have there at Morning Sun. They had their older Grigio in Class 11, the 2014, picked up a silver and was the best performed wine in that class with the older Pinot Gris or Grigio. So Morning Sun's Grigio, which very pleasant drop, which I've had with my lunch from time to time and thought, oh, this is not bad.
Look, it's quite interesting to even get a chance to taste a few older Sablancs, Pinot Gris and Grigios.
Yeah, yeah.
The complexity in their structure changes and
sometimes
it's different
very much so.
Get on that palate and dry.
Yeah. So if you ever see in any of the wineries, if you drop in and you see one from an older year, just have a try just to see the development. Now, Chardonnays, because we love the Chardonnay, the top one, and we've spoken to the people from Suma, that they picked up the top gold for the Class 12 Chardonnay, but when you join all of the classes together for the Chardonnay, there was a heap of great wines, weren't there?
Oh, look, the Chardonnay's once again one of my favourite wines, the complexity, the structure, and they can either do it basically with partial malo, or they can actually take it through the whole process. And we're just tasting just some lovely characters and flavours through these wines. Highly recommend Suma. We've had Dimitri here from Suma. We've interviewed him.
Yep.
The other ones that did well were down there at Arodda. They basically picked up two golds for their wines.
It's interesting because they're set in Beechworth, but they'll bring their wines in from all over the place. And one of them came from the Yarra Valley.
Yes. They, I found fruit matchstick characters, rich sweet fruits, a spicy creamy brulee, creamy fruit, and it's still got that nice stone characteristics which we love.
Yep.
So, look, Arodda's worth a visit as well.
It is, for sure. Locally, Manton's Creek picked up a silver. Bayview's Chardonnay was a silver. So there were a couple of the local ones there too.
Nazare there picked up a silver and also won the People's Choice Award.
Yep.
Or actually for his Pinot.
For his Pinot, got the People's Choice, yeah. Absolutely.
You can see the number of in that class there,
and
Neil.
A heap in that class. And I'm also looking at the Class 13, which is the one-year older Chardonnays, and the top gold there, the Black Wattle, the Icon from Mount Benson, which Neil Doddingdale makes. And Mount Benson, I'll tell you, it's halfway between Robe and Kingston on the over in South Australia there, so it's on the coastal side of Coonawarra, and there's three or four ripping wines, his stuff, plus Jaffa, and there's a couple of absolute crackers, but again, they manage to sell most of their stuff locally because they're pretty small, turn out some good wines.
Well, Black Wattle has been a trophy at the International Cool Climate Wine Show before. Look, these Black Wattle, you know, it showed power and restraint with complexity of sulphides, great oak interaction, biscuity, and also had those fragrant aromatics, good refined palate with rich and generous flavours. You know, it's just beautiful. Well done over there. Yeah.
And in that same class, the best white wine on the peninsula was the LG Park one. And we have one sitting in the office here today, and at the end of the show, someone rings up, they that they can get that one, but don't ring yet because we've got to wait till everyone's in the office. For the Algae Park, which we've talked about before, that's a cracking wine, best local white wine, got a gold and 95 points. So to get knocked off by the Black Wattle will just give you some indication how good that was.
And look, and we know how good that that wine is from Algae Park. It's still one of my favourites on the local region.
Yeah, beautiful.
Absolutely superb.
The Point Leo and Matesi also picked up Chardonnay Silvers there, and the Red Hill Estate picked up a silver in the Chardonnay. So a lot of the local ones did very well, and as we know, there are plenty of great ones there. Mm. Now, there's another class where they go even older.
Yes.
To 15 and older, and Charmin's from Tasmania. And I'll tell you, there's a little town just south of Launceston called Relbia, and they've got Joseph Cromie, you've got Charmin's, and you've got I'll look that up. I've got there's three absolutely stunning wineries all within about 5 minutes of each other. If you're ever there, you've got to go to visit those three in the town of Relbia, just south of Launceston. Definitely worth the effort. But Charmin's, family wineries, absolute cracking Chardonnay, that 215.
They also make a fantastic Pinot. If you look at some of the awards that they've made there, across their whole range, they make an absolutely superb range of wines down there. And look, I'd highly recommend that one as well. One of the most interesting ones, there was a 2010 Chardonnay.
Okay.
Got a silver.
Yeah, the legend.
The legend Chardonnay.
What can you tell us about that? Because I've been trying to find out about that one, and I've drawn a blank.
Look, it's stone fruit, more those cling peaches and ripe nectarines, finishing with great acid, just really well put together. Our Christian Mayer from the RACV in Melbourne gave it 96 points.
Wow. Fantastic.
So that's an excellent wine. Finding it's always difficult.
Yeah, look, time's getting ahead of us. We better start looking at some reds. So let's start with Pinot. And it's quite interesting because the top gold there was the Dovetail. And I personally tasted about three altogether. And yes, you could see how well that was made, and it was brilliant. But gee, there was hardly a breath between three or four that I tasted on the night of the awards dinner. Some absolute fantastic ones. Home Hill, that's the other wine.
Excellent wines there too.
That's
Chardonnay.
That third one I was thinking of.
I'd have to agree with that. I think on the day, Dovetail came across the board and won that, and also took out the trophy for the whole event.
Yep.
But there was a breath between a lot of those, the Chardonnays and also the Pinots.
Yes.
And there was, just in that class of 21, there was five golds. So picking the difference between the top gold is, just...
absolutely minimal.
Yeah, a point.
Yeah, and... Dovetail, unless you either go direct to the winery or Cellar Masters had it available for $22 if you're interested in looking at it. And that's a good value for a top gold, $22. You're not going to get many of those. Bay, you picked up a silver.
Yes.
Which was nice. We had a sip of that the other week. I had a sip of both of them, but both the Algae Park and the Bay one.
Yeah.
And
you got Shoreham Park there.
Yeah, Shoreham Park, which was another good one. And we've mentioned Sumo, picked up a few along the way. Chartley Estates Pinot also got a silver. So, quite a few great ones. And another one which you'll pick up in Dan's for $17 got a silver from Fowles called Are You Game?
Are You Game?
Yeah, the Strathbogie Rangers. And Fowles, well, it was...
Sam Plunkett's.
Exactly right. And they've got that little area there in the Strathbogie. They've got a little area on the main drag out of town, the Hume Highway, and $17 for that one. If you see Are You Game Pinot 217, $17.
Superb. Well, Matt Fowler up there has done a fantastic job.
Yeah.
Obviously, from the old Fowles auctions, they've taken over that with from Sam.
Mm.
Sam's got his own winery.
Yep.
But the Fowles have a great range, good introductory wines, and also some nice icons that they've got up there as well.
Some of the other Pinot classes, Murmurous from the Bellarine Peninsula picked up the for the bit older that wine, 2016, still young of course, but that got a top gold. And Algae Park Pinot Noir picked up a silver. Home Hill picked up a silver. Red Hill picked up a silver. Point Leo Estate and Matesi both picked up bronzes. But the Murmurous, I didn't get a chance to taste that one on the night. I'm not sure whether you've got anything there on that one at all, Paul, from
no,
the 2016 class. But they've made some good wines on the Bellarine Peninsula there for a number of years.
Yes, no, I haven't actually got anything on that, and I can't recall the wine directly myself.
Mm.
So we might have to
investigate
that one and come back to that. Yes,
friends at the Bellarine. Cabernet. Now we've talked about how tough it is to do Cabernet down here, mate, and interesting to see that the winner, and although not surprising, from the Adelaide Hills, Chain of Ponds, who make some absolute ripping wines. So they've got one called the Amadeus Cabernet, which has been their top Cabernet for years and years and years. Probably set you back around the $50 mark. A very good, very refined wine. Got the gold 95 points. I don't know whether you tasted that one at the time. I've had it in the past, not that particular year, but previous ones. The Amadeus from Chain of Ponds.
Look,
is always worth a try.
Chain of Ponds, once again, a great winery.
Yep.
I didn't actually get a chance to taste that one. I tried the Blue Pyrenees Estate Cab Sav 2015.
Stunning.
It took out the top gold.
Yeah.
It was definitely my favourite of in that big, heavier red class. But
I'll tell you what, you say big, heavier red, though, it is so refined.
Yes, I was just about to just clarify
Dan,
that.
And Dan has a great swagger, $18 for the top gold Cabernet, Blue Pyrenees, $18 in Dan's at the moment. It's got the little stickers, and it's got the international wine sticker from this year on it as well, and it's still $18. Blue Pyrenees have made some great wine over the years, and this one is absolutely sensational. Cabernet, go to them, 96 points. I loved it as well. You said you loved it.
Yeah, look, as I said, and I meant to clarify that, they're not big mouth feel wines. They are refined, sophisticated.
Yeah.
They're
flavoursome. Yeah.
The top gold there, savoury dried herbs, spices, nice varietal expression. Moderate tannin weight, which I think is important, that moderate tannin weight.
Yeah, don't let the tannins take over there.
That's right. And then their 2013 also took out a gold. Juicy dark fruit, quite fresh, vibrant for its age. Black fruits, anise, and firm tannins, but not overly ripe, which is just nicely put together.
Another is a red blend one, and when you drive along the Western Highway and you get past Ballarat and you get into even past Ararat and you get into Great Western, there's a little spot there called the Grampians Estate, which has been around for a few years. Nice spot for some lunch. They've got, as their red blend, which got the gold GST, an unusual blend for Victoria, but a Grenache Shiraz Tempranillo.
Yes, yes. Normally
very
a GSM.
Exactly.
But a GST. And
GST.
Look, I like the idea of the Tempranillo myself.
So
I think
I.
It comes across. It's got lovely juicy fruit and just a touch sweeter than some of the others, especially the Australian ones versus the Spanish.
Yeah. Not grippy at all.
No, not grippy. No, not grippy at all. But once again, a lovely and a well-established winery there.
Yeah. Now you should talk about the Shiraz, because you've got your good mates from the Flinders Island, the Straitsman Shiraz.
Oh, that Straitsman Shiraz is still being talked
gold.
About.
Yeah, it's
still
got
being talked about.
Top gold on the Flinders Islands, and there's a couple of brothers, I believe.
Yeah, look, their winemaker has been Andrew Higginbotham.
Yep.
He's done a great job there. Look, that Shiraz, to me, was one of the pick of the bunch, and we also discussed that at the masterclass. Look, lifted whole bunch, stemmy characters, very attractive with some complex sweet fruit underneath, and, you know, that touch of that, I suppose, that tea tree, because it's all surrounded by tea tree, and they've got to completely net this region because of the wallabies, so they take more than the angel share.
Which is interesting. There's a couple of places in Heathcote that have got the same issue there. And while we're on the Shiraz, there's a couple of local ones we've got to mention. Foxy's Hangout, Peninsula Shiraz, 95 points, picked up a gold as well, not the top gold, but the gold. And in the next class, 32, there's a gold from Merrick's Estate, Peninsula, and from time to time, that's, if you don't get it at the winery, you can pick it up at Merrick's General Store from time to time. But consistently make great Shiraz from Merrick's Estate, year in, year out. That's been very, very good stuff.
They have. I think Merrick's have really just lifted the game a little bit and producing some superb wines. Tony, at our little friends at Foxy's Hangout,
they
are making some stunning wines.
They
and you know, Tony's
known for their sparkling, but that Shiraz is
that
very
Shiraz
nice.
And their Pinots are good. Yes, yeah. No, they've done one well there, and Tony's always been a good supporter of the International Cool Climate Wine Show. He's been a judge there for many years, but he outlived his time. Only from the point of view, you can only do 5 years.
Well, he can't. He's pretty busy with all the other stuff he does, writing for the papers and the whole works. One other I'll mention of the Shiraz, the top gold in the older Shiraz category, Brothers at War, who are from the Eden Valley. Now, that's next door to the Barossa. They actually make it mostly in the Barossa. The two brothers, Angus and Sam Wardlaw, worked a bit at Kerry Hill when they were dominating. They've probably dropped a bit in the last 2 years, in my opinion. Also did some great work at Murray Street. Now they've got their one, the Brothers at War, top gold, 97 points.
That was excellent. Yeah. All of their wines picked up gold or silver and only one bronze, and they entered five wines. They picked up Rieslings, Rosé, Cab Sauvs, and the Syrah, and obviously the Brothers at War single vineyard, old vine, Syrah, 2015, won the top gold, very ripe black fruit density, powerful and dry, big, full finish, pepper and dark plum flavours. This was another one of my favourites, without a shadow of doubt.
Yeah, and you probably got to pick it up direct from the winery. You can set you back about $80, that one, Brothers at War, Eden Valley, which means it's not as... I wouldn't have liked to see what they would do with some of the Barossa stuff, because that's a huge wine.
It is, definitely.
Yeah. Look, we're starting to run out of time here. Paul, is there any other ones you just wanted to mention before we sign off on those?
Yeah, look, the other one that I like was Michelini up there, and they had a...
Terol Deggio, I don't know how to pronounce
Deggio.
It.
Terol Deggio.
Bit of
that's
an Italian red.
Yes, it won gold, great intensity, vibrant and powerful on the palate. This is one of the Italian grape varieties that they've bought in. It's doing extremely well, 2016. Terol Deggio.
well pronounced.
Well, yes, so that one I'd highly recommend as well. But it's been a great morning. I think we've covered a lot here today,
Neil.
We have,
yeah. Hope you get lots of ideas. I always like to give the big tip on the best wine. Look, you can't go past that Cabernet from that we talked about from Blue Pyrenees.
Blue Pyrenees.
For $18 at Dan's, that's the one to go for.
Yes, agree.
And of course, get up to Matese and have a crack at the rosé. We mentioned a few Chardonnays. If you want the best Chardonnay from the Mornington Peninsula, from that show, you've got to ring...
Algae.
You've got to go for the Algae Park one. There is one available. And I think I saw Brendan in there before. Ring up 5975-1234. There is one bottle there available.
Is it first in?
It's pretty much first in.
First in, excellent.
If you say, I want to try that Algae Park Chardonnay, and we'll set it aside for you in the